Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. Thanks, Steve.
It's great to be back here with you.
Yeah, good to be back here, too. And here we are. It's the day before the year's going to end.
Yeah.
We made it through the Mayan apocalypse.
Yeah.
And we're still here.
We did.
Anyway.
Yeah, we did.
And we're at the end of another year, and it's really hard to believe how fast each of these years go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time just flies.
We were just starting 2012. Now we're going to start 2013.
Before you know, it'll be 2014.
Yeah. And it just goes faster and faster as maybe because we're getting older.
You're getting older. You're getting older. That's never. Well, you know, it's a single day at 1,000 years. It's all one.
That's right.
In God's kingdom.
Yeah, to him, it's all the same.
All the same.
Yeah, we're just, you know, living in this time capsule where every minute seems to be important. And, you know, every hour is different than the hour before. But once we get into eternity, there's not going to be minutes. It's not going to be hours. It's all going to be the same.
Wow, no time.
Right. Remember, I'm going to Starbucks with Paul, and I can stay there as long as I want.
With Paul Wilbur?
Because there is no long. It's just all the same.
Yeah. You can wait in line for like forever, and you wouldn't even notice.
That's right. See, that's why even in our speech, it's all based on like time. You know, how long, you know, I can stay there a long time. And
exactly.
We'll have a good time there. And
time is, it's all relative.
Yeah. So, you know, when you come to an end of the year, you tend to look back over the year that you're just, moving out of, and you tend to wonder about what's going on in the next year. But we thought we'd look back a little bit on the year that we've been through, especially what's happened. Oh, I don't even know how many. Actually, the whole year there's been things happening.
Yeah.
And, of course, 2 weeks ago or so, we had this horrible shooting at the school in Connecticut, right. And it's really shaken the whole country to its core, and it's not something, it's not even something that your brain can really process that something like that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
And I have not talked to anybody who hasn't been shaken by that.
Yeah. It's almost incomprehensible that something like that would happen, that those innocent children would be killed like that. And, our prayers go out to the families, obviously, to those who lost their children.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's never the same.
Yes, exactly.
It's never the same.
Exactly.
You know, it's an unspeakable, horrible tragedy.
Yes.
And a lot of people want to try and, you know, either politicize it or point blame and try and figure it out. And how do we stop this? And, you know, it's a lot deeper than just one answer.
Yes.
You know, it's a very complex situation where, some people are going to say, well, you know, you threw God out of the country, you got him out of the schools, and no, there's no prayer in schools, and that's why, I don't necessarily, God doesn't rejoice in the destruction of his creatures.
That's right.
Of his creation.
That's right. The scripture says that.
And, you know, we have to look at the culture that we live in. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, all those video games, that really doesn't matter. That's just make-believe.
Mm.
Well, if you're in a flight simulator, it's make-believe. But if you crash in the flight simulator, you're not going to get your license to fly that plane.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is, when you know, the human mind works in such a way that if I'm thinking about something, even though it's in my imagination, and I imagine it to be real, I will have the same reaction. Let's say I think of something that is, that I have to escape from something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my heart will start racing. My body will start reacting as if I'm in flight.
Fight or flight.
Yep. Fight or flight. So there's a reality to video games, the culture of really death and destruction that mm-hmm. is perpetrated through a lot of movies, that we really have to look at
yes.
as believers and even non-believers.
Absolutely.
You know, because it's going to affect, whether you're a believer or not, this can affect anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just not, well, okay, just believers were killed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that.
Well, sure.
So anybody who is listening or can hear these words, we all have to look at, okay, what do we support?
Mm-hmm.
What do we value? And when human life is no longer valued, you're going to have an awful culture.
Yes, exactly. And I think this is what we're going to get into here as the show goes on. And the children, you know, we should start by saying that those children are in heaven with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these children were, what, 5, 6 years old? And
6 and 7,
Six and seven. And
yeah.
It's a horrible tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, those, my opinion is that those children are saved and they're with the Lord, and they're probably, I don't want to say rejoicing, but they're probably rejoicing for themselves. But at the same time, their families are left behind, and their friends and relatives and left behind, and the whole nation, actually the whole world, has been startled and shocked by this.
Well, yeah, I mean, you saw the headlines of other, you know, other countries were just shocked.
And you bring up, you know, we can talk about video games, and, you know, everybody's talking about guns and all these things that are going on. And these things are all important issues. I mean, as a nation, we have to decide, what are we going to do about guns? What are we going to do about people who may be mentally imbalanced and have access to guns?
Mm-hmm.
You know, should somebody be able to go buy a machine gun, you know, anytime they feel like it?
Right.
Or, I mean, these are things that, you know, these are things that we're not going to get into on the show, but these are important issues. Are you going to put armed guards at every school and build, you know, security system, you know, put devices around? I mean, I don't know. These are schools, you know, they're not army bases.
Exactly.
And the question is, what does this show that's going on in the deep recesses of our culture? And
mm-hmm.
the people who have the guns, who have the video games, and then are capable of doing something like this, you know, what's real to them? What's not real to them?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, you know, I don't know, this young man who did this was obviously had a long history of some kind of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think the important thing is in a situation, there happens to be a desensitization. You're desensitized.
Yeah.
To life.
Yes.
And, when you become so desensitized to another person's feelings that it doesn't matter to you,
mm-hmm.
you're in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You're in a really unhealthy spot.
Yes.
And, I mean, people make the argument, well, you know, there's all these video games, or, you know, there would be more of this going on, stuff like that. And that might be true.
Mm-hmm.
But, the need to reach people and help them when they need help is obviously important. You know, there's a lot of community services now that are cut back because of lack of funding.
Sure.
There's a whole lot, and that's why I say that the whole situation is very complex, because, you know, even if you have all these services for those who struggle mentally, and have impaired, it is, you know, it doesn't mean that that something's not going to happen. And I think we live in a society sometimes where we want to correct everything so that there is no more death, there is no more destruction. And as much as we try to, is there ever a way to really stop it?
Yes.
To really stop it. Now, obviously, if you have a culture of love, there's probably going to be a lot less of it. And I think that's where, you know, that's where we just celebrated the birth of the Messiah, you know, the light, this infant, this child that came into the world, God's own son, to be a light to the nations.
Yes.
And to bring us salvation.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple of weeks ago, we read that passage from Zephaniah, you know, rejoice, daughter of Zion, mm-hmm. for the Lord has taken your punishment.
Yes.
And, you know, there's hope in that message. And in a time where you have a tragedy such as this, a lot of people ask, where was God?
Yes. Yeah, we've been hearing that a lot.
Why didn't he stop this? If God loves everybody like you say so, how come he didn't stop this?
Yes. Yeah, we've been hearing that a lot.
It's a very fair question.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is that we talk often on the show about how things have changed in our culture and how things have changed over the last 30, 40 years. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's been a desensitization not only to violence, but to human life.
Right.
We've had over 50 million abortions.
Right.
In our country alone,
right.
let alone the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look back at the book of Genesis, when Cain kills his brother Abel and God says Abel's blood cries out from the ground,
mm-hmm.
we have the blood of 50 million babies crying out from the ground.
Right.
There's 4,100 abortions a day average just in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these were 20 children that were horribly killed in one day in this horrible, senseless tragedy. But there were 4,100 other babies that were killed that day in our country. And it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
That's part of a desensitization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids like this, I don't know how much is going to come out probably about this young man who did this, but, you know, there's a moral relativism. I don't know anything about his mother or his father or what,
mm-hmm.
but this moral relativism of who are you to say that that's wrong and everything you do is okay. And well, what's right for you may not be right for him, but it's okay because you're both right.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been people who are now in their teens and their 20s and their 30s have been raised on this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they don't have the absolutes that we were raised with where you knew when you did something bad, you knew when you did something wrong because there were consequences.
Right.
And you had someone teaching you at Sunday school or catechism or regular school or wherever it was that God had laws and that when you transgressed God's laws, you were in trouble
mm-hmm.
and that your eternal destiny could be at stake
right.
if you didn't repent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who talks about that anymore?
Well, yeah, if you do, then, you know, you can't bring that into the public arena. You can't bring that into the school. You can't bring that, you know, that's a faith matter. That's between you and God.
Exactly.
You know, so there's all these obstacles that are presented to us. And, you know, we're talking about something that is just very... There's so many different arguments about it. Mm-hmm. There's so many different positions about mm-hmm. it. And, you know, people seem to be all over the spectrum.
Yes.
You know, gun control,
mm-hmm.
armed guards in schools.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was the disorder that he had that did it, you know, mm-hmm. and there's really no scientific proof of that.
Yes.
But one thing is certain, it was evil.
Yes.
And I even heard someone say, well, I don't even want to say that it was evil.
That's right. People don't use the word evil anymore. We've had a whole bunch of these incidences.
And when I heard that, I'm like, how could you say this is not evil? You slaughtered the innocents.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how could you say that's not evil?
And the scripture says when you spill innocent blood,
God is mad.
I
mean, when Herod was looking for the Christ child and he ordered the slaughter of all the male children that were born 2 years and under.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine that. I mean, this is really, you know, it opens our eyes to that.
Yes.
And how do you deal with that
as
a culture?
Yes.
As a people?
Yes. We used to be rooted in the Judeo-Christian morality. We used to be rooted in a Christian view of things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, and I'm a little bit older than Steve, and when he was growing up too.
Yeah, you're a lot older than I am.
Yeah, that's true. when we were growing up, you know, you may not go, you may not have gone to church every single Sunday, mm-hmm. but you knew that you were surrounded by a Christian morality. Mm-hmm. Your parents enforced it.
Right.
The schools enforced it.
Enforced it, right.
I went all through my childhood in public school, and every morning we read from the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Kids took turn reading some passage of the scripture, and, you know, we saluted the flag, and then we went on with our class.
Yeah.
And some rooms in your schools may have had the Ten Commandments on the wall, mm-hmm. but now the Ten Commandments are offensive.
Yeah.
The Bible's been declared hate speech in Canada, not here yet, but a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And the teacher's not allowed to enforce any kind of meaningful discipline or moral judgment on anything. Mm-hmm. And the kids live in a home situation, which is a mess, which yep. isn't their fault, but they're going to be products of that. Mm-hmm. There's not a father in the house. A father's the spiritual head of the home.
Anybody's reality is based on what they experience That's as right. they live.
That's right. And they are not, they've been raised in a totally different, you know, kind of environment exactly. than we were.
I should say everybody's environment is a product of what they're going to deem yes. as this is my reality.
That's right. And we've had, you know, secular humanism has taken over, mm-hmm. and secular humanism has basically become a religion in itself.
Yes.
You know, the political correctness and the, well, we can solve all of our problems. And if we pass enough laws and do all the things, we're going to make a nice society where everybody's going to be happy. Nobody's going to be offended. Mm-hmm. And we have God out of that, because when you bring God into it, then people get to be fanatics and they get to be bigoted and they get to be closed-minded and, you know, they get to be racist and homophobic and all this other stuff that yeah. you hear. And so we can't have that. And we can't have the teachings of Jesus, because we don't want to have to answer for all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We want to do our thing. So this secular humanism, which has taken over the schools, has been progressing and has gradually taken over the society and has been emphasized so much now that even people in the churches have been affected by it.
Yes.
I mean, you go to your average church, half the people are divorced. You look at the population, half the people are divorced. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at all these statistics done by Barna and all these other groups. The statistics of people being divorced or going, or that go to church or don't go to church is the same.
Yeah.
You have pastors saying, well, you know, we don't want to get anybody upset. And so we have to, you know, we can't say anything about this. And we don't want to get people upset about politics or about how they're feeling. And, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of, you know, like we talked a few shows ago, that the gospel has just become a kind of be nice to everybody
yeah.
kind of a thing. And this has been passed down to anyone now who's under the age of about, I don't know, 35. 30, yeah. And this is how they've lived their life. And I'm not saying that that's what caused this horrible shooting, but it certainly contributes to the mindset.
In our culture,
wow,
yes.
Wow, first break already. Wow, this is a gift of grace. Go to giftofgraceministries.org. Let's listen to this beautiful song, and we'll be right back. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long live the world in sin and their pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is another one of these difficult shows to do, like we did, a few months ago. And
yeah,
we're talking about the secular humanism, and you know, it's really changed what we value and what's important.
Yes.
You know, people have always valued their jobs and their house and their car, and you know, that can get carried away too. But now, it's things. You know, the emphasis has been so off of the spiritual. It's been so off of God. No matter what concept you have of God, it's been off of that.
Yeah.
And it's certainly been off of the Judeo-Christian morality and traditions that have always been in the past.
Right.
In our country, and you know, and I'm not one of these Christians that talks about, you know, that believes that all the founding fathers were these absolutely amazing Christians who, you know, just did Bible studies every night and
exactly,
you know, that sort of thing, because they weren't.
No, they weren't.
But they all said, you know, you have to have God in the Bible in order to have a democracy that works. They basically framed the government along those lines. And, you know, if you look through their writings, there's a lot of references to the Creator. And
right,
the Creator gives us rights. The government right, doesn't give us rights. The Creator gives us rights.
Right.
And that everyone is important, and that everyone's freedom is what's important. And you know, there's a lot of the Judeo-Christian mentality in all of our founding documents, which now is, we, you know, the emphasis has kind of changed, because now we want to do more of our own thing. You know, like we talked about when we studied Romans chapter 1, you know, we want to worship the creature, not the Creator.
Yeah.
And we want to do our own thing.
And the secular humanism is really just that.
Exactly.
You're worshiping the Creator.
That's right.
You know, the creature.
Yes.
And, you know, essentially, and for anybody who studied parts of World War II and Europe in that time, there was a city in Poland called Nowohut,
mm-hmm,
that was a city without God. And this was an experiment of theirs to build this city without God.
Mm-hmm.
No reference to God at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, essentially that's what is trying to be done in our culture today.
Yeah.
We want a culture without God.
Yes,
we want exactly, any reference to God.
Exactly.
Because we can do this better.
Yes. Yes. And this is, you know, a lot of this is a failure of evangelization, because the church itself has been very reluctant to stand up and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The church has been very reluctant to say, listen, outside of the cross, there's no salvation.
Right.
Because people say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? What about all those good people over there doing that stuff? And hey, who are you to say about this and that and the other thing? And people who are, quote, church-going Christians that, you know, support abortion and support all these other issues and don't see anything wrong with it, because Jesus was nice to everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about that at length, but, I mean, this is where we stand now, and it's invaded our schools. I mean, it's been in the schools for a long time. It's invaded the government. It's been in the government a long time. And it's invaded everybody's personal life.
Yeah.
And it's gotten down to, well, I can't go to church because I have to go to the softball game. I can't go to church because I have to go to the swim meet. I can't go to church because I'm tired and I worked all week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go to the church because I got a runny nose. I mean, years ago, people went to church no matter what was going on.
I can always remember my mom and dad saying, my mom and dad walked the church in the
That's
snow
right.
in 20
That's
feet
right.
of snow.
That's right. Barefoot.
Or 20 inches of snow.
Barefoot.
Feet. Barefoot in 20 feet of snow. But, you know, what you're saying is all true.
Mm-hmm.
It's, there's a perspective that has been lost in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And to speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you speak the truth, you run the risk of alienating people.
Mm-hmm.
You run the risk of actually being killed.
Yes. In many places in the world, that's definitely true.
Yeah. Because in scripturally, it says, men prefer darkness than the light.
Yes.
The light came into the world.
Yes.
But they prefer darkness because their deeds are dark.
Yes. And that's in John's gospel. You can look it up for your homework. But that's exactly true.
And we need to spread that light, the light of truth. Jesus spoke the truth. He told Pilate, I came to testify to the truth.
Yeah.
Pilate says, what is truth?
Right. We're saying that now.
What is truth? Exactly.
We're saying that now.
Yeah, we're right at that point. What is truth?
Yes.
Well, truth for me is what I believe is true. Well, truth for you is what you believe is true.
Yes.
It's all subjective, relative. You know, it's relatively associated with my surroundings and my situational ethics.
Exactly. That's a great example.
Well, you know, I mean, I was there, and it made sense to me. Right. Come on, everybody's doing it. That's, the road to heaven is narrow.
Yeah.
But the path that leads to destruction is broad and wide.
Exactly.
You know.
And that has gained so much strength over the last 40 mm-hmm. years that now we're in a situation where it's become the commonplace.
Right.
So now if you do stand for the gospel, if you do stand for truth, I mean, you're literally either laughed at or just pushed over to the side, say, we don't do that kind of thing mm-hmm. here, even in churches.
Yeah.
Look how many denominations within Christianity have become liberal places where everything is tolerated, mm-hmm. everything is okay, Bible doesn't really mean that, collection of stories.
Yeah.
Well, if the Bible's a collection of stories, then we're all in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if Jesus just came to be nice to everybody, we're in big trouble,
because mm-hmm.
we're nice, but we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And if people, it's been a very clever ploy by the enemy. I mean, he has a lot of clever ploys. It's
the master of deception.
Yeah, but the really, really clever ploy has been, oh, come on, you're good. Everybody's good. Everybody's nice. You know, what you believe, that guy doesn't have to believe. That guy can believe what he wants. Who are you to say?
Mm-hmm.
And boy, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, in Proverbs, it says there's a way that seems right to a man that leads to death.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you can hear politicians and you can hear people in the public square give a tremendous explanation about how wonderful it is to have abortion. Mm-hmm. And people get sucked into that. Well, you know, this poor girl got pregnant and, you know, what do you want her to do? What do you expect her to do? And
do you want them to go into these back alley houses and get killed doing that?
And this poor baby's going to have a horrible future if he's born, so let's kill him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a chance if he's born. It's he's going to live a horrible life.
It's all in the name of mercy.
Yes. And this is the evil deception.
Yeah.
And although we were blessed as a nation because of how we were founded and because we had religious tolerance and in recent times, we've always stood with Israel, so we've always been blessed that way. Mm-hmm. Whenever something's happened in the world, we've gone there and done things, and we've sent aid, and we've sent people, and God blessed that.
Yeah.
He blesses that. And now we've turned away, said, we don't want you in our culture. We don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our public square. We want to do our own thing. And it's gotten so far now that it takes me into the book of Isaiah. There's Isaiah again. It's a major prophet. This guy's major.
Major prophet?
Oh, major.
What do you have, like one book or something?
No.
Chapters?
No.
More than Zephaniah? More than three?
No. As a matter of fact, he has 66 chapters.
Isaiah has 66 chapters?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's not like one of those guys with one or three chapters and they think they're prophets. No, they are. Anyway, we're just not getting into that again.
Yeah.
Zephaniah just got done being mad at us.
Yeah, we just got off the conference call.
Yeah, that's right.
One more word about me, guys.
Yeah. But in the first chapter of Isaiah, this kind of came to me a few nights ago when Stephen and I were at a home group and he was doing some awesome worship music, and the Lord led me to this. We were kind of thinking about talking about these things for the show today. And in Isaiah chapter 1, starting at verse 2, he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel." And, you know, Isaiah is given this prophecy from God to give to the Israelites, but it applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, you know, we're Christians living in this nation. We're his children. You know, the New Testament speaks very clearly that if you're a believer in Jesus, the Messiah, and you're his follower, you're a child of God.
Yes.
And when he says, you know, I've nourished and brought up children and they've rebelled against me.
An adopted child, an heir to the kingdom.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we were brought up, you know, we were brought up from being miserable sinners that were slaves to sin to now we're children, and we've rebelled.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, he points out the simple animals, like an ox can tell who his owner is. The donkey can tell who his owner is.
Yep.
But we don't know who our owner is.
Yeah.
And part of that is our sin nature. Part of that is the deception of the evil one. And part of it is the way that our society has changed. We don't even know who our father is anymore.
Right.
So therefore, when you don't know who your father is, you become laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers. You mm-hmm. become corrupted.
Yeah.
And this is where we are.
Yeah. It's very difficult to really take an honest look at one's own heart.
Yeah.
And to be honest about the condition of one's own heart.
Sure.
Because I know that before I became a believer, I was raised, you know, I believed in God. I was raised as a Catholic. I believe in God. But I didn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 15 years ago, the Lord opened my eyes. And all the things that I had justified were just that. I justified my habits, what I did.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of my friends justified their habits and what they did.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we were justifying ourselves straight probably down into the gates of hell.
Yeah. And most of the time you didn't care if you were justifying it at all. You just wanted to do it.
No, because I was justified that I was right.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's us today. You know, we do not know who our Father in heaven is.
Right.
We don't care to learn what he loves, and mm-hmm. we don't care to love what he loves.
Right.
We want God in our own image, in our own likeness, on our right. own terms, in our own conditions. We want, you know, there's a lot of well-intentioned people, but the reality is, go to a prayer group.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And is the movement by the Holy Spirit, or is there so much control that God really can't move?
Yes.
You know, yes. I want this to be this way.
Yes.
Okay, well, did you ask God about that?
Yes, exactly.
You know, a lot of people say, well, we pray, we discern, we did all this. You know, a lot of times we come down to our own judgment, our own mm-hmm. biases about mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. We have to be honest about that.
Yes.
What we're comfortable with.
Yes.
And God calls us out of our comfort zone.
Yes. Yes. And this is in churches this happens.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look out in the world, it's, you know, you're just like talking into the wind.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, how many times people say, well, the God I believe in would never do that.
Honestly,
the God I believe in would, well, you've made God in your own image.
You know, honestly, I mean, sometimes I think it was, when I worked in a corporate job, there was more structure there than there was in some churches that I've been into.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's more discipline than some churches
yeah.
because people just continue on. No one's holding them accountable.
Exactly.
They have an excuse for everything.
Exactly. And then you become desensitized, like you said before. You become hardened. I mean, how, you know, if we leave here now and put our radio on and find out that somebody shot 22 people in a mall somewhere, you know, we're almost starting to think, oh, wow, I can't believe it happened again.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a horrible thing because these were little children, but, you know, there was a shooting in a mall, a couple weeks before that,
yeah.
and there was the shooting in the movie theater, and there was mm-hmm. I mean, there have been a lot of them
yeah.
within the last year or two. There's yeah. been probably a handful of significant events, let alone the insignificant that you don't hear about where, right. not that they're insignificant, but there's murders here and there. And there's always been that.
And not everything makes the national news.
Right, of course. And it's a desensitization that's gone on. And it gets to the point where your conscience is so numb, so anesthetized,
mm-hmm.
in some cases dead,
right?
You can't even react anymore,
mm-hmm.
because you know, if you steal something from your place of employment, the first time you do it, you feel kind of bad maybe. And then the 10th time you do it, you say, oh man, I'm getting away with this pretty good. The 100th time you do it, you don't even think about doing it.
I mean, worse yet, you think that it's owed to you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get paid enough.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, we've gotten to the point, another scripture, and it's in Jeremiah chapter 6, and it's in verse 15, where Jeremiah writes, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they're going to be among those who fall.
Wow.
I mean, you get so desensitized that it doesn't even bother you.
Yeah.
I mean, there were the things you would now see on a regular primetime TV network show that's a, quote, family show wouldn't have even been dreamed of 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And now you get to the point where some of this stuff, if people who were older adults in the 1950s would see some of the stuff that's on TV now,
mm-hmm.
they would be blushing and disgusted.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, we don't know how to blush.
I mean, you don't even have to watch the program. Just
that's right.
just a commercial. Just a commercial is like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And it's all excess. It's lust. It's all these, you know, all these things that we deem as, oh, this is going to make us better. This is going to make us happier. And it's a total desensitization to what true love is.
Exactly. Exactly right. True. It's a demonic perversion of it.
Oh, it's a demonic perversion of God's love.
That's right.
Because love is pure.
Yes.
I mean, love in its pure form doesn't brood over injury.
Yeah.
It seeks the welfare of the other person.
Yeah.
And you would lay your life down for your friend.
Exactly. Oh, our second break already.
We have Celine Dion here today.
Yes, we
well,
do.
Well, she's actually on CD. But.
And it's almost the end of the year. I can't believe it. Anyway, this is Gift of Grace Ministries. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220, the last segment of the show. Last segment
already
of the year.
Of the year, wow.
Last segment of the year, yeah. Next time you hear us, it'll be 2013.
Wow. Yikes.
I can't even believe it
yet. I'm just glad we made it past December 21st.
Yes.
A close one, wow.
Yeah, that was a close one. Well, we made it through, what was his name, too, last year, that the pastor, I can't remember his name now, but remember it was going to be May 22nd at 6 p.m.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't pan out too well.
That's when Pastor Irene was here from Galilee, and we were making jokes about it and talking about it, and then we went out to eat, and I looked at my watch, and I said, hey, it's 6:15, we're still here. But anyway, eventually someone will get it right, though, because if enough people predict it.
Now, didn't Jesus say that no one knows the day, the hour, or the minute, except, who is that? The Father. Nobody knows the time except
that's
the Father.
Right. That's right. So when somebody like that guy says May 22nd at 6 p.m., you can dismiss it automatically.
Yeah.
Because he's not only saying a day, but he's saying an hour. But anyway, there's been
saying peace.
Peace when there is no peace.
When there is no peace, and right. They'll be overtaken like a woman in labor.
That's right. Exactly right. And it's interesting because, you know, we're talking about is the condition of our time and the secular humanism and how people have been desensitized. And, you know, this is so important that Jeremiah repeats that exact same text. Of course, he didn't call it a text, but the exact same passage twice.
Jeremiah quoted me?
Yeah, no.
I'm quoting Jeremiah.
Yeah, he said it in chapter 6, and he quoted himself in chapter 8. But also, interestingly, in how we've been desensitized, that we're not going to be responsible for what we do.
Right.
There are no, you know, problems with anything that we do. There's no consequences to something that we do. We've removed... You know, when I was a little kid and somebody would have said to me, God's going to judge you for that, I would have been scared. I would have taken that very seriously. Mm-hmm. Now people just laugh. I mean, literally, I was talking to a young lady about this in my office a couple of weeks ago, and she literally laughed. I mean, she was laughing out loud at what I was saying about sin and judgment. She was laughing. Now, that doesn't hurt my feelings because, you know, like I always say, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. But I thought to myself, how sad and how odd that here's this 25-year-old young lady, educated, working, that mm-hmm. when someone talks to her about sin and God's judgment, she thinks that it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, starts to laugh.
Yeah.
I would have never laughed because we got raised knowing that this was true. And Jeremiah in chapter 8, verse 7 has a really cool verse. He says, even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. And the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the times of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. And that's really, that's another really good example, I think, of where we are today. Whatever I feel like doing, I'm going to do. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Mm-hmm. And no one has the right to tell me anything. And when somebody brings God into it, I'm just going to laugh.
Yeah.
Because, hey, this is my life. I'm here. This is my life. You know, like the world started when I was born.
Yeah. Well, it's the epitome of secular humanism that I am in the center.
Exactly.
You know, everything revolves around me.
Yeah.
And when you reach that point in culture, the culture's almost assuredly going to meet its demise.
So what do we do? You know, we talk so many times on this show about remnants and faithful remnants, and we just did a thing about Gideon, and we did a thing about Elijah. And, you know, we're a remnant now.
Mm-hmm.
Even within Christianity,
right?
There's a remnant of people that are doing the stuff and are faithful and are, and there's a vast number of people that are, you know, I go on Sunday and, you know, what can I do? And, you know, that's okay. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's a book about stories and, but there's we're part of a faithful remnant.
Right.
And those of you that are listening, if you feel the Spirit telling you that you're part of this faithful remnant, mm-hmm. you have to consider this and discern what you're to do.
Right.
Because no one out in the secular world, no one in your school, I mean, unless you go to a Christian school, no one in your school, no one in the government is going to tell you that salvation comes through Jesus and his finished work on the cross. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to hear that anywhere, because you're going to hear right. the enemy's voice saying, hey, relax, have some fun, you can do whatever you want. You're in charge of your life.
Yeah.
It's your life.
Yeah.
You go out and do what you want to do. And hey, as long as you don't hurt anybody, hey, it's okay.
Yeah. It's...
yeah, it's okay. It's your life. Come on. When you're dead, you're dead. You might as well enjoy yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, when you say to some, you know, well, the world's going to end someday, well, I guess we better have fun now.
Yeah.
Go to the wrong answer.
Let's live it up.
Yeah. And, you know, if we are responsible, you know, it says in Romans that we're responsible for spreading the gospel. We've talked so many times on this show about how God uses us with all our failings to do his work, to do the ministry, to spread the word. And we are the ones that are responsible for telling people the gospel. Now, if we're going to be afraid of what people are going to think, if we don't want people to think we're crazy, if we're going to be hurt by something that they say and we don't do it, that's not good.
Right.
And you are condemning them to death because you don't want to hurt their feelings, or you don't want your feelings hurt.
Yeah, you know, you as you're talking, I'm thinking about the wise virgins,
mm-hmm.
who five of them had enough oil
mm-hmm.
for their lampstand.
Yes,
five didn't.
Right,
and you know, if we're really prepared, and we are doing God's will, we are out spreading God's word,
mm-hmm.
and not just in word, not just talking about it, but yes. doing it in deed as well.
Yes,
a lot of people think we got to. You know, the word is just proclaimed just in word and speech.
Yeah.
If the word of God doesn't permeate me,
mm-hmm.
then really I should say, if the word of God permeates my entire being, then my actions are going to speak.
Yes.
The gospel as well.
Exactly.
Okay. An act of kindness without even saying a word is going to speak sometimes more to somebody than,
mm-hmm.
you know, that act of love is going to speak to somebody sometimes more than saying, hey, have you heard
yeah.
that Jesus died on the cross for you? Maybe that act of love and kindness is what they need
yeah.
so that when that word is given to them,
mm-hmm.
that seed
yes.
yields a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the wise virgins, the five had to go out and get more oil.
Mm-hmm.
They came back and the door was locked.
Right.
So it's a matter of us being prepared and being ready, but also helping our brothers and sisters by, you know, sharing with them, walking with them.
Yes.
And proclaiming to them that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. And this, and there is no more important thing that you can tell somebody, because their eternal destiny depends on this.
Yeah.
Depends what answer they give to this. And there is no more hurtful thing you can do to somebody than say, well, I should tell them the gospel, but I don't think I better, because they seem pretty happy with where they are.
Yeah.
They seem pretty happy with how they're living, and
mm-hmm.
hey, they seem to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I just better shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And you may condemn somebody to an eternal hell by not saying something.
Exactly.
By not pointing something out, by not talking about the cross, because Jesus is the only thing in our tolerant society that isn't tolerated. You know, if you go out there and talk about Buddha, everybody loves you. You go out there and talk about some Hindu thing, Hare Krishna, everybody says, oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, you got, oh, you know, I want to go with the Dalai Lama. You know, he's so peaceful. He's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I want to talk to him. You know, even Islam,
mm-hmm.
you know, never mind how they treat women, and never mind how the other things. Oh, you know, it's so interesting. It's a religion of peace. They do all these things. But you go out in the street and talk about Jesus, well, we can't have that.
Yeah.
Because that proves to you, you know, St. John defines what an antichrist is, and that proves what an antichrist spirit's in the world, mm-hmm. that Jesus is the only thing you're not allowed to talk about. I mean, yeah. it's really mind-boggling that mm-hmm. it's come to this. I mean, we know it's going to come to this.
Exactly.
And it's coming to this in our lifetime, which means, you know, the Mayans were wrong, but he's coming back sometime soon. It might be tomorrow, it might be 10 years from now, it might be 5 years from now, it might be 50 years from now. But it's not going to be 5,000 years from now. It's going to be soon.
Yeah.
And it is up to us, you know, and if you're listening and you haven't heard this before, you need to find a church where this is preached, and you need to know that your only hope in salvation is by what Jesus did on the cross, and you can only be saved by his blood.
Amen.
Whew. Well, Happy New Year from Gift of Grace Ministries.
And we want to wish everyone a prosperous New Year spiritually, and have a good weekend, everyone, and we'll be back here next week on the Gift of Grace. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.